Hey,
Breezy,
Moe's Nose,
Peachy,
Fit it on.
It's about that time, everybody turn your TVs on. The Moe's Nose, Peachy, Breezy, and Fit it gone. They keep it nitty gritty when they bring you nine to talk. We two gorillas, silver back, nah, silver home.
You know it's busting the discussion cause we get it in. Every time, you know, we grinding, I was 8 to 10. We always play to win. The faithful going hard. It's Wayne, Breezy, Peachy, Moe's Nose, and Fear the God. Let's get it.
Nitty gritty, next the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, next the line is tall. We outline players up in chalk. Nitty gritty, next the line is tall. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the Niners talk. Niners talk, nitty gritty, this the Niners talk.
What's going on, everybody? The Nitty Gritty Niners Talk crew is here. It's Monday. It's Victory Monday. And we just beat down the beatdowns right here in California. The 49ers defeated the Dallas Cowboys. Not one, not two, not three, but 42-10. Peachy, Moe's, we in the building. We grittier than ever. What's going on?
First of all, that intro just took on a whole new meaning for me. When we line them up in chalk, because that's exactly what happened last night in that game. We line them up in chalk. Literally left them on out there on the field with their little imprints in chalk. I love it. That's fantastic.
I think I was watching an episode of First 48 when I wrote this. Moe's, I see the gritty on you right now, bro. Like, you was out here. The fans were crazy. It was weird. It was a crazy experience, Moe's. Let everybody know why you got that gritty face on right now, bro.
You know why I got that gritty face on right now? Shout out to J. Cole, bro. Because that's what I'm feeling like. First-person shooters. The 49ers are J. Cole. The Dallas Cowboys is the rest of the rap game. The rest of the rap game right now is scared. Because what Cole just did on first-person shooter, on that new Drake album, listen, what Cole just did to that, that's what we did to the Cowboys last night. And we put everybody on notice. Because, yeah, the talk is about, okay, the Eagles are 5-0. The Dolphins got the high-flying offense. We still got to worry about Mahomes and the Chiefs. No. We put everybody on notice last night. For a team that had everything to play for, the narrative was not in their favor, and they trying to change the narrative. We done bounced them out of the playoffs, sent them home 2 years in a row. They needed this. They needed this for their psyche. They needed this for their confidence. And I don't care none of that crap Michael Parsons talking about. The score didn't indicate. You must not have been at that game just like the rest of your teammates, because ain't none of y'all showed up. Because the score was indicative of what happened to y'all. Y'all didn't get into the red zone one time.
Hell, Moe's. Yep.
I'm laughing, yeah.
So let me tell you, okay, so I was really tired because I did the overreaction show cross-streaming with Mike. And, you know, Mike, it's like a 1,000-year show, and I got tired, so I just hopped over. Like, I got to go to bed because I had to go to work. So I finally went to sleep about 3 o'clock. I think his show ended at like 4:30 or something like that. And so I got up. I was so tired. It was so hard to get up this morning. And I got in work, was sitting there sipping my coffee. Everybody's like, hey, them dudes are real depressed, man. Leave them alone. Why did you tell me that?
Hell no.
Why did you even tell me that?
Leave them alone.
So as soon as I finished, you know, like proofs for payroll and all the stuff I had to do, my boss is gone for the whole week. So it's actually like a vacation for me because he was only there for like a couple of hours today and that's it. And then he's out of there. So I was just in a really good mood. Walked out there. The supervisor was pointing. They over there. They're right over there. They all grouped together over there. I Okay, Siri's tripping right now. So I walked over to him. I was, whatever, they're nice. I had my little clipboard in my hand. I was going like this. So I just got one question for you. They're like, what? Like, are y'all still them boys? I'm like, man, no, don't even do that. You don't even understand what. And they just started all this stuff. And I was like, I don't want to hear no excuses. I don't want to hear none of that. Then one of the maintenance guys, he was hiding. Like, it took me a while to find him. Like, dude, like, went into hiding.
He did the Homer Simpson.
Yeah, he did the Homer Simpson. He hid. Like, wait. So when I found him, he's like, oh, who told you that I was over here? But it was a great day. It perked me up. It definitely would have been different if the role had been reversed and I had to go to work. I might not have went to work. I might have been like, screw it, because I'm tired and this, whatever. But, man, when I tell you, I lit up me some cowgirls today, boy. There was a bunch of them. They was huddled together talking about, oh, but we're going to see you in the playoffs. Don't be so sure about that. I'm just going to leave it just like that.
I mean, that's all they can say. Like, mm-hmm. that's the only other chance they're going to get to see us. Right. It's funny because out here in Santa Clara, San Jose, Santa, whatever you want to call it, out here, I haven't seen one Cowboy fan all day. They left last night. I know they found red eyes and they got the hell out of Dodge. Or they left 4:30 in the morning. They're not here.
What's funny is I got my Niners gear on. So on my flight was at 6:15 this morning. I got my Niner gear on. A couple of old heads had their Niner gear on. Not one stitch of Cowboys blue in sight. And it just so happens that the guy sitting next to me, we're in the exit row, so it's just two seats. The guy sitting next to me, old head, dude, was a Cowboys fan. Only way I found that out is because he had the blue Cowboys star on his phone. He didn't have a Cowboys jersey, no t-shirt, no hat, nothing. They did not want to be associated with this team. Mm-mm. So I guarantee you, every single one of them, just like Skip, they threw their jerseys in the trash. They left them in the hotel room for the housekeeping crew to clean up. Man, they disowned that team after that game.
Look, people kept saying that, you know, a lot of people felt this game going to be close, which is fair. The rivalry, the last couple of times they played, the playoff situations, the games were a little different. But the one thing that people weren't accounting for with this particular game was Brock Purdy. And I don't think people realize how much he's elevated his game mentally, not just physically. I think physically he always can do the things that he was able to do. But if you watch this game, my favorite throw the whole game. Favorite throw, because he had to do it twice. Favorite throw the whole game. Brock Purdy hit Brandon Ayuk on a crossing route for a first down. I'm like, hell yeah. Flag. Who the hell do the flag? Why was there a flag? Who hold it, Burford? No flag. So Brock Purdy says, no problem. It's second or first and second and 38, 5,100, whatever. No problem. We're going to do it again. Same play. Same player. Same play. Yo. Same player. Same play. Listen.
Me and you stood up, and I looked at you. It don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
At that point in the game, flag doesn't matter because we were so locked in. Penalty flag on us, that was the only thing that the Cowboys fans could cheer for at that moment. And then the very next play for Purdy to snatch their heart out of their chest again, and I looked at every single one of them in the two rows in front of them. It don't matter.
It didn't.
It don't matter.
It didn't. That's how locked in, like, the quarterback's mindset is. That's how confident he is in making the throws. And let's talk about how he's elevated his game even to another level in throwing the ball to get his guys open. That third down to Juwan Jennings, throwing them, getting them open. This is what you're seeing. So what I'm saying is, if Brock Purdy is elevating his game, like, how do you beat this team? Like, this team literally, this 49ers team, this 5-0 team, this first place team literally has to go out there and do some dumb shit to beat themselves.
Right.
This team has 6 penalties, no penalties on the 49ers defense. None. Zero. Not one. Not a green law. Not a nothing. Not a hold. Not a PI. Not a defense. Not a nothing. Nothing. Not one. 6 from the offense. 6 from the offense. Got to work on that. But you mean to tell me the offense has 6 penalties and still put up 42 points?
Still put up 42 points. Brock still threw for 250. The running game still ran for 170 yards on this defense that apparently can stop the run. When the real narrative is they can't stop a nosebleed. But all of a sudden they was going to come in and stop the run. Yeah, y'all might have figured out how to stop Christian McCaffrey. Or did y'all figure that out? Or did we go to something completely different and highlight somebody else? Because y'all were so focused. We baited y'all. We baited y'all so crazy. We gave you the first 4 weeks of nothing but Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And that's all y'all came into this game worried about. Y'all forgot about him? Oh, he didn't forget how to get into the end zone. He got 3 of them to his first 3 touchdown game.
Yeah.
So, like, and what they're talking Patrick. About, Breezy, like, you always talk about, what would this team look like if we had a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen? We don't need that.
Not anymore. What is this
team like when Brock Purdy is elevating his game.
Yes.
He has the physical attributes, he has the grit, he has the moxie, he has the mindset. But now how he's processing information, mm-hmm. how he's reading defenses, how he's setting things up. We all know Kyle's script is to set things up for later. Well, Brock is now a part of that. So how Brock is seeing things, reading things, calling things out, hitting things, making stuff happen on the fly, how he's setting defenses up for later.
Yep.
The one thing you left out, just the most important thing that you probably just happened to overlook because you're not even thinking about it. He has the trust of his head coach. I don't think that we would be in this situation if Kyle Shanahan didn't trust his quarterback. Now we know what this offense, what this team is like. Just like, who does Andy Reid trust? Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Took a minute, but he in there.
Yep.
Who does McDermott trust? Josh Allen. Took a minute. Took a lot of interceptions. Took a minute. But guess who he trusts now? If his quarterback get the ball in his hands, he... F the plays, go win me this game. I feel like Kyle Shanahan, Peachy and Moles is finally, he finally has a player in that he can put his trust in. And I think we're seeing that. And the reason why I said that is because on that third down throw, thank you, Cousin Sid. Not he made it the first time, but it was a penalty. He did it again. He did it again. He didn't run it. On third down, mm-hmm. he did it again. He said, "Yeah, we need a first down. Let's do it again." Mm-hmm. Ayuk, I trust you. You beat him the first time. You can beat him the second time again.
Right.
I'm just going to throw it to you. You can beat him again. Mm-hmm. That is trust from the head coach. Not only that, man, Kyle Shanahan, if he wanted to, could have put up about 60 to 75 points on that defense. I'm telling you. Like,
definitely could have.
Couple of drives that were stalled out, had to fumble at the goal line with Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. That was the 49. But, I mean, there were times you take your starters out with, like, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and 10 seconds left in the third. I wanted to see some Sam. Bro, then we ran the damn ball the majority of the time because Sam Darnold only had one throw.
Hey, yo, and the crazy part about it is I love the player locker interviews where they talk about –
they were great.
I ain't never been in a game where I got to watch the whole fourth quarter.
It was that's another reason why that Micah.
It was like,
is like all in his feelings because he went and watched them. He went and watched them locker room interviews too, probably.
I don't even know if I should collect my game check this week because, like, you know what? Give me 3/4 of it.
Give me 2/3, coach. I'm good, man. 66%. I'm like, Gucci.
It's like we got a mini bye week. Get a mini bye week.
They better live it up. Mm-hmm.
What is to me, not only does the head coach trust Brock, but the defense trusts him as well. And they have no problem telling you that they trust this offense. And now that we have this type of offense, this defense is like, oh, no problem. We got this, because all we needed was a competent offense that was going to be able to go out there and hold us down. So when we get out there and do our thing, we're refreshed, we're energized, and we're ready to roll. And we stay fast because we don't get worn out.
Ooh, no pun intended. Warned out. That's what happened to the Dallas Cowboys. They got warned out by the leader, Fred Warner.
Micah.
Oh, Mike. Let's talk about it.
We got you. Let's give a shout out to Miss Debbie, who's with us all weekend long. Miss Debbie's been driving us around. She's been everywhere. She's been to the video shoot, to the stadium, to the tailgate, to the stadium, to breakfast, to dinner. Miss Debbie's been the real MVP all weekend long. And on top of that, she happens to be watching the show right now after she dropped me off at this lovely abode that I'm staying in. And she says, happy victory Monday. We are Hawaii 5-0, because that's what it looked like. You typed it in capital letters. So wonderful to be a faithful 49ers fan, y'all. I heard Miss Debbie drop a couple F-bombs this week, but I ain't gonna tell everybody that she did. But let's F and go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. That's exactly what I'm talking about, because that's what we need. The energy comes from us. You know how I know, Peachy? You weren't there, but I know you were watching on that TV and the energy was crazy, right? What you didn't see was how Fred Warner pointed to us and said, yes, watch this, and then went out and punched the ball out. He literally pointed to us, and then he went out and punched the ball out and got the fumble, and then we got the recovery. I think Kevin Givens recovered it. How crazy was that? That was super crazy. Super crazy. Listen, Fair, if you were here, you wouldn't have a voice neither, bro.
Wouldn't either, bro. None. Gone. Completely gone.
But yo, all the way.
All the behind the scenes stuff. Watching Fred pregame, team huddle. Not only did he tell him to get in, but he said, link up. And everybody lock arms. He said, link up. And he got them ready to go. Like, the passion. We talked about it a couple shows before, but everybody on this team wants it. And yeah, we're 5-0. We just beat the Cowboys 42-10 on national television. And guess what? It still ain't enough. Mm-hmm. We want more. Mm-hmm. But Fred wants it. He wants it. And he went out and did everything. He had 8 tackles. Total. He had a sack, a forced fumble, and a pick. Like, like,
he the boss.
Can he do?
He's the boss. He played like the Predator, bro. There's a reason why I call, if you ever watch the movie The Predator, the one thing that the Predator's secret weapon, other than his strength and quickness, was the fact that he had the ability to camouflage himself. You know what I'm saying? There was a play. Oh, matter of fact, Johnny Dell just put this out. He says, how does a player blow up the mesh concept and get the pick at the same time? He different.
Yep.
He different. His energy is different. His level of cognitive ability is different. The way he plays the game is different. And when Fred Warner isn't there, the team plays different. That's the energy. Fred Warner is literally the energy that's inserted into that team each and every week. Each and every week. He's locked in. And the players, like you said, Peachy, not only do they trust a quarterback, they trust Fred Warner. Because you know what he is on that defense? The quarterback. Damn.
And this is what I love. I was mentioning this. Appreciate RX for putting it in that post game. After Kyle speaks, Fred gets up and he says, "That's what it looks like, family. That's what we can do. Love over fear.
Love over fear.
Love this team. Love this organization. Love the fan base. Love for one another." In this locker room.
Yep.
We got that love. When we linked up, that's how we play.
Yeah.
And can nobody touch us when we linked up and we play like that with love over fear. Bro, he is on a different level right now. And for this to be only week five and he's playing like this.
Yeah.
What else is he going to give us this season?
Look.
Like, what else are we going to see from him, from his defense? Like, how can we not be excited about what we got going on this season?
Since we're talking about the defense, this would be a cool assertion. Shout out to, is it Bauho? I'm hoping I'm saying that right. From Sydney. We appreciate
you
from watching this. That's Sustra. Cindy Sustra. All right. Or is that Australia? I'm not sure what that is. But all right. Shout out to you, man. Thank you so much for tuning in. We truly appreciate you over there. Listen, here's what I was going to say. You know, Symmetry kept saying last week we gave up 14 points to the Arizona Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was four. We were still averaging 14 and a half points at the time. My apologies for saying the wrong thing. We had gave up a few points to the Arizona Cardinals, and Sim kept saying, dude, our defense still only is giving up an average of 14 and a half points a game. You gotta chillax on Steve Wilks. He's not doing anything wrong. It's certain concepts that's going to happen where guys are going to lose their matchups. That's a matchup. That's a one-on-one. We talked about one-on-ones. You want to know why we talk about one-on-ones in training camp? Because in one-on-ones, that's your will against the other guy's will, your skill set against the other guy's skill set, and you got to win your one-on-ones. And this game right here, there's only one player, maybe two. Fred lost a one-on-one, but it was a weird zone mid. I felt like he was too shallow in his coverage, and the ball went over his head, gave up a big play down the field. But if you want to talk about who gave up the touchdown, that was Isaiah Oliver. It wasn't matched up in man. He was still playing zone, but he had to get to his man from across the field because his man in Turbin was just too damn quick. And so what ended up happening, instead of him dropping back and playing on an angle as a running back, he don't have that quick speed to keep up with him. He played the angle wrong. Playing the angle wrong, gave up the leverage. Dude beats him over the top, fade route into the end zone for a touchdown. Dak's greatest throw probably of his career to a wide receiver that none of us knows, right? But at the end of the day, like, that was the one-on-one that I saw that was lost in that particular game. And I'm saying to myself, wait, we lost a couple of one-on-ones and we only gave up 10 points. So can we please, for 1 second, give Steve Wilks a round of freaking of applause from up top, calling a tremendous game, because you talk about a team that was scoring over 30 plus points a game, number two on the list. I don't care if they defense scored or not. Their offense was still putting up points. They scored over 30 plus points a game, and they got 10 points on the 49ers defense, man. Steve Wilks, man, you deserve your flowers, my brother. That's what you do. You go back, you adjust, you take your players, you have that tough conversation with them, and they go out there, they man up, and that's what I saw. Because Diamador Lenore, you want to talk about Fred Warner pick? If it wasn't for that tight grip coverage and the tip, that's not a pick. Yeah. But Diamador Lenore was tight like glue, baby. This defense is crazy, Mose and PG. Crazy.
How about
crazy
the fact that...
Wait, put that back up.
Dak not only threw to the starters...
Which one was it?
But he threw INTs to the starters. He also threw it to our backups. First take was hilarious today. Stephen A. said one thing. It cracked me up so much. So they were asking him, you know, if the Cowboy fans are going to be, you know, like done. Basically, and he said no. He said because they're like cockroaches.
He didn't say that on TV.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He did say that on TV.
The whole conversation was about Cowboys fans and what we saw at that game. But real quick, shout out to my uncle in the building.
What's going on, Uncle?
He says Lions versus 49ers in the NFC Championship game this year. You heard my uncle. He is a Lions fan. His Lions are playing out of their mind. They are 4-1.
Yes, they are.
Right now, they're playing good football. Uncle C's tuning in. He's also good friends with Mike from Nothing But Niners. He used to go to the same cigar shop. So shout out to Uncle.
Oh, nice. Tuning in. That's what's up, Uncle.
If that's your prediction, then we're going to have to find a way to fly out to Cali because – you know you're going to be on the road for that one. Just think by the number one seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the Lions. But, again, man, just take away the run game. You can have the best running back.
We know Jared Goff well.
Very, very. Look, and I'm not throwing shade. They're playing great football right now. Like they are playing great football. Sam LaPorta is going to be one of my favorite tight ends, hands down. Had a great game last week. It sucks that you guys lost Emmanuel Mosley for the season. It's unfortunate. It's a tough one. Torn ACL, bro.
It was probably the same week.
It's the same week.
When
week
he
five.
Lost it for us, yeah.
Week five.
Somebody was trying to find that out. They're trying to make sure that was
week five.
Close. Somewhere in week there. Five. Yep, definitely. So, week five.
Is it the same knee?
I'm not sure if it's the same knee.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'll look into that.
But so I wore this shirt today. It's symbolic because it's Super Bowl and it's 49ers and Chiefs Super Bowl, of course, the last one that we went to. And as a reminder of what could have been and what's going to be, because we're going to have a Super Bowl shirt, but it's going to be Super Bowl champion shirt is what it's going to be for this 49ers team, because nobody in this league can mess with us. No one can. I'm not saying that we're going to go undefeated because, you know, whatever, but we're going to win enough games so that the road goes through Santa Clara to get to the Super Bowl. And then we're going to go to Vegas and we're going to win it. Because I've sat back over the last couple of weeks and especially like now, and watched all these teams in the AFC do what they do. Can nobody mess with us. I watched Philly and the Rams yesterday. Nobody can mess with us. I don't want to hear all this. So now Dallas was the big bad wolf. So now Philly is the big bad wolf, right? So when we all go to Philly, because I'll be at that one, and watch this, you know, live in person and watch us do the same thing to Philly that we're doing to Dallas. And I know my son's watching. He's probably very irked right now. But I'm just telling you, I had to wear this because I have to let you guys know that the next one we're going to have is going to say Super Bowl champions is what it's going to say in February. It's going to say Super Bowl champions. I see it in this team. This team feels it. Fred feels it. They are not allowing these guys to get too high, and they're making sure that they don't get too low. They keep them like right here. So they understand that there is a lot of football left to be played. But the fact that they are not all about themselves and they're not, you know, whatever, like thinking whatever, like Fred said, it's one game at a time. We got this next game going on. But I tell you, we will be in Vegas and we will leave there as champions.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for tuning in to that. Now I'm just playing, but that's how you end the show. That was the perfect ending to a show. Listen, let's get through some news real quick. We got the injury report going on. Aaron Banks with a shoulder strain, but he's listed day-to-day. Running back Elijah Mitchell, knee, also day-to-day. So I'm assuming these guys will try to practice throughout this week. We are going to be on the road in Cleveland. I'm not sure. The type of game Jordan Mason had, if I'm Elijah Mitchell, I'm suiting up with all knees, no knees, half a knee, quarter knee. I'm suiting up. I'm going to have to play because the way Jordan Mason was playing, that Mickey-Ficky lowdown, mowdown, wasn't trying to come out the game. Dude had 12 carries for 69 yards and a 26-yard touchdown run. If I'm Elijah Mitchell, I'm like, no. I was a draft pick. Let me show you how it was done, son. That's me. That's me, though. That's me if I'm Elijah Mitchell. But I don't know. I do expect Elijah Mitchell to be good to go. What are your thoughts, man? We got a couple of injuries. Shout out to John Feliciano, who played 33 snaps, I believe, 32 to 33 snaps. I think he had 11 in pass blocking and then whatever the remaining 21 in run blocking. He was the highest pass blocking graded offensive lineman in this game. Ooh. John Feliciano, who was coming off of his concussion. So, I like him better at guard. I can't stand him at center. But that's something we could talk about, man. How you guys feel about these guys? You think they're going to be able to go this week?
For sure, Aaron Banks is going to go. I think the way he's been playing all season, unless it's something that's, you know, really, really bad, if he's listed day-to-day, I think he'll get the proper treatment, proper recovery. And he's just shown that he's a tough player. And I think this is something that he'll fight through. Elijah Mitchell, I don't know if he has that same toughness. I agree with you. I think the way Mason played might force him to play or to force him to say he's good. But if he's not, because of the injury history that he has, I mean, I would say, you know, if you don't have to go this week, don't go this week, and try to get as healthy as you can so that when you do return to the field, you know, the snaps that you get can be impactful. Because you don't want to just go out there and get snaps, but you don't make an impact. So I would say for Aaron Banks, he'll definitely play unless he has a setback this week. Mitchell, I don't mind him sitting out to get, you know, as close to 100% as possible. So that when he does get snaps, they're impactful.
PG, what are your thoughts on these two young gentlemen?
Everybody knows how I feel about Elijah Mitchell. I do believe that Banks is definitely going to play. I expect him out there against Cleveland. Mitchell, on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I still wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers didn't trade him. So I don't know if they would want to, you know, like risk anything crazy happening for him to be out there. I do believe with Mason and TDP behind him or whatever, we got it. That's good. We know that Mason can spell, you know, McCaffrey when he needs to go to the sideline or whatever and be made to come out and all the things. But I do. I really feel like that we may trade Mitchell. And it's crazy, but there's a lot of running back needy teams out there, especially with Jonathan Taylor signing with the Colts. That's a big one that's off the board now. So now these teams have got to regroup. I'd see around the NFL where they're bringing in these nobody running backs, you know, and all this stuff. So it just wouldn't surprise me if Mitchell was not a trade candidate. Because I don't know. Kyle has said before, there's a difference between being hurt and injured. And I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted on that now because I'm wondering about Mitchell and just, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not worried about him as far as his injury, because I don't really think he injured. I just think this is Kyle Shanahan, like finagling the system.
Right.
So like, I mean, as far as trading him, that would be probably a top piece. I don't know. I just feel like a running back is going to get traded. I don't know which one is going to be. All right. Now, does Mitchell give you higher value? I don't know. Too many injuries. Does TDP give you a higher value? Could be. That's why they had him active, ready to go the past couple of weeks. And he got him some reps in this particular game. Yeah. Not as many injuries, not close to as many injuries. So as far as Mitchell is concerned, I don't know. This knee thing, it's always going to be a knee thing for him if it pops up. But hey, if they do decide to keep Mitchell, I think I'm with you guys. Keep him on ice. Let him chillax. And when you need the missile to go in the game, you put him in the game. Hey, man, if he gets you one good game and you win, hey, that's what it is.
Because that's almost like what he can get you. And I've heard people say, you know, just stash him until the playoffs. And then
you can. He's not. Plus, it's probably contract season and he ain't going to cost you much. Like, you got to look at
that. That's a great point. It's going to hardly have no negotiation, that's for sure. Yeah. Like, he's literally not going to be able to negotiate that much at all. But, you know, I still think that it's a possibility that he may get traded. I know that Denver is about to apparently, like, now the national networks were saying that it looks like Denver's about to have a fire sale.
Good.
Right. Good.
We got money, too. So we can now go to the fire sale because we actually have some cash
app. We have dough.
For sure.
Yes. So
please fire sell us Patrick Surtain.
Right.
Listen, I know people keep saying, I've heard lately, we don't need a Surtain. Well, we don't need you. I'm going to tell you right now, we should want Surtain. Yes. Like, want. I mean, sometimes if you got the bread, you go and buy what you want. When you don't have the bread, you got to settle for what you can get. And I get it. But at this point, if he's a fire sale and we can get him because we got the bread, I mean, Patrick Surtain, his all-pro caliber self on this defense, I don't give a fuck what he's doing in Denver right now. I could give two flying cares how bad he look in Denver. He won't look bad in red and gold.
No.
He just won't. Just common sense. No, he won't.
Players just look different when they come to the red and gold.
The culture changes. That's why.
Right.
It's a different language when they come in the red and gold. Cats are no longer playing for themselves and accolades. They playing for the team victory. They playing for championships. They're playing for legacy. That's what you get when you come to this red and gold. It don't matter if you're an all pro or an undrafted free agent. You walking through that museum, through that tunnel, through that, everything about the legacy of the 49ers resonates in each and every player. And that's why I think they go hard or they go home. I think that's where that term comes from. Let's talk about some news. Brock Purdy nominated for the FedEx Air Award. Am I correct? The Air Award. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, there's some quarterbacks up there. It's going to be tough this week because somehow Joe stinking ass Burrow found his way up on this list, if I'm not mistaken.
Decided to come back.
He decided the 1 week I bench his stinking tail, he comes up and he's on this list because he had a
chance and it paid off with him and Chase. And Moles, I don't like you right now, even though this is a fantasy show. I was making fun of you at first because of Amon-Ra St. Brown that you left in your lineup. However, you had Jamar Chase, so that literally just took care of it.
What's crazy is I picked up a wide receiver when I was out in Cali doing so much stuff. Like,
right.
I picked him up, but I forgot to put him in my lineup. Mm-hmm. So that messed me up. But like Breezy, I sat Joe Burrow, and he would have got me 14 more points than Dobbs did, and I would have been a little bit closer in our sleeper league that I got Romeo Dobbs going tonight. So I could have been 2-0 against Peachy, but she's going to beat me in one league, and I'm going to beat her. She's going to beat me in the but I beat her in the ESPN league.
He's smacking me in the ESPN one because even though he – Chase just like went ballistic. And I know because in an NFL network, I'm beating the crap out of somebody because I had Burrow and Chase.
It's probably me. I quit fantasy football week one. I just said, F it, like at that point. You know what I'm saying? Let me go ahead and check my messages because I did want to mention the other quarterbacks that are on that list. And just to see if Brock Purdy, I mean, he does have a chance. You got Joe Burrow, 36 of 46, 317 yards, three passing TDs. Justin Fields, we can't forget, had a tremendous Thursday night. Four passing TDs, 15 to 29, 282. And then there's Brock Purdy, 17 to 24, probably the most accurate of the three quarterbacks up there. 70% completion percentage, 252 yards, four passing TDs. It's got to be Fields or Purdy for me. Like, I'm hoping that's what it comes down to. But if you're a Niner fan, get your ass out there and vote.
And vote.
For Brock Purdy. Like, it's up to you. Shout out to NFL.com who didn't tell us to do this, which they probably should look at us and say, hey, they like what we do. Yeah, yeah. But go vote for Brock Purdy. Let's get him this award. And let's talk about that this Sunday night football game. The highest, most watched week five Sunday night football game of all time. 26.1 million viewers that stayed locked in, but it peaked at 30 million viewers. The stadium was packed. What a game. What a game. What a game. That's all I'm going to say. And I wonder if the viewers dropped Peachy when it was like 42 to 10 in the third quarter.
I'm not sure. I know that some of the people that I watched today said that they went to bed at halftime. Like they were like they did. It wasn't even, like they just went to bed at halftime. They just had this bad feeling that it was over. It's like, which 49er was it? I can't remember if it was Fred or for somebody else. Or Bosa or somebody, they asked about when they knew, you know, that we had that game or, you know.
I think it was Bosa.
Bosa, when they asked him, you know, like when he knew. And he was talking about when, after the first offensive drive, he said he knew he was
that's
over.
That's when I knew. It was too easy. It was too easy for the Niners to score. It was too easy. It was butter. There was one penalty on that drive. There's one offsides on that drive for the Dallas Cowboys. I know that shit by heart. It was an 8-play drive to get into the end zone. I don't remember the yards, but it was too easy. Matter of fact, the run and the pass were the longest plays. You had an 18-yard Christian McCaffrey run and a 19-yard George Kittle touchdown pass. One of his three. Kittle with the hat trick on yesterday. Yeah. It was just amazing because, you know, people have been saying, Stephen A. Smith came out and said it. Like, how do you stop the team? How do you stop Christian McCaffrey? How do you stop George Kittle? How do you stop this player? How do you stop that player? You can't stop them all. Mm-hmm. And this is one game where none of the players that have been predominantly doing stuff consistently for the past 4 weeks actually stood out. It was the one player who was doing nothing the past 4 weeks who stood out. I think that was the key. And if you, I'm telling you, the keys, y'all gotta pick. I know sometimes y'all think some of the stuff I put out is corny, but the keys to victory specifically stated that the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan needed to attack those linebackers with George Kittle. It was George Kittle, linebackers and safeties. Exploit that. What did Brock Purdy do? I think I'll be reading them because the week before, I told them that they needed to score in the red zone and stop being a little, you know what, in the red zone and put them points up. And now Kyle won't kick field goals no more. Like, I can't get a field goal from Jay Moody.
I know.
It's all touchdowns.
Right. Yeah. They were – it was awesome because it's been – I don't even know how long it's been since our defense has talked about our offense in such positive ways.
Yeah.
And it really just like blew my mind at how happy they are that we have this amazing offense that can do all these different things and still haven't done this and still haven't done that. And we're going to do this and whatever. And just how the defense is just like so much more relaxed. I mean, we took our starters out with like 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. I can't even remember the last time that we did that. That was crazy. So that was a lot of fun to watch that. I'm sure it was awesome to be there in all that environment, in all that, you know, activity and everything. I saw some video. There was a lot of red, so I was happy about that because they said that Dallas had a huge presence there as well as the 49ers. That's what they were saying on TV anyway, that they did. The ticket sales were kind of, you know, kind of balanced.
Really?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
That's what they were saying. So, you know, glad that you guys, you know, got to soak up that atmosphere and everything like that. It did seem like that you guys are really loud when we were watching the game last night. A lot of participation, very loud. So that definitely helped, of course. But, Callie, just the whole entire environment and then how close these players are to each other. And it's not just like you have the defensive group over here that's close and then you have that whatever. Like, they're all close. They all hang out. They all, you know, root for each other and everything like that. So that was really special to see. I'm telling you, this team is really special. Very, very special. I would say that the fact that also is bugging some of the Cowboys is how many, like 30 million, watched them get their butt kicked on national TV last night.
According to you, it was a bunch of them that watched them in the stadiums, too.
Right.
It was a couple of fans that stayed to the end. It was just one Cowboy fan. Yo, he talked smack the whole game.
Wow.
The whole game. He was calling us the P word over and over again. Here's the thing. I don't think he can see with glasses on because he couldn't read the scoreboard. And he had to be on something. Maybe Molly, maybe E. It wasn't regular. All I know is he was more delusional than Micah Parsons. We're going to get to that. I'm like, dude, how do you talk smack, but you getting smacked? Like, that doesn't make any sense. If I'm a fan, I think we're diehard fans, right? Mose, and I will say this because Mose, PC, you weren't at the NFC Championship game.
Right.
I want you to know that Mose and I stayed to about 3 minutes left in that game. So we decided to make the business decision to get up, get out early.
Mm-hmm.
And Nate still talk trash to us, but we ain't talk smack back. We got our asses handed to us.
Yeah.
What was we going to say? There was nothing for us to say.
Yeah.
At that point.
Right.
So we kindly walked away. But not this Dallas Cowboy fan. He talked trash from the beginning of the game he stayed to the very end.
Wow.
And talked trash on his way down the steps, smiling.
And
maybe he knows
like,
something we don't.
And he probably, I think at some point he was like, he said something like similar to what Micah said. Oh, this game is closer than what the scoreboard says.
I think that's what he was seeing.
What?
I think that's what he was seeing.
The only time this game was close was the coin toss.
I love that.
Because
which they
that,
won.
Love that.
They won the coin toss.
That's the only thing they won was that.
And that's the only thing they won. That's the only time this game was close, because after they won the coin toss, they lost everything else because we drove down the field that first drive and punched it in and got 7. So that was the only win. So that must be why he thought it was so close, because the Cowboys did win something.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great, Mose. I love that.
Cowboys fans, you know, Cowboys fans, they put a lot of weight on coin toss wins. I'm sure there's a Cowboys fan that has the percentage of how many times Cowboys team have won coin tosses.
Coin tosses. Right.
You will find one fan that
right.
has the win percentage of coin tosses for the Dallas Cowboys in the history of the organization.
Oh, well, the one fan was at the stadium talking smack from the beginning to the end of the game. That was that fan. I'm telling you, the only one that know. We won this coin toss. We down by 30 points, and we're going to come back in 2 minutes. That's what he believed. Michael Caldwell with the Super Chat contribution says, let's talk about the meet and greet, though. It was fire. Faithful turned up. Oh, my gosh, yo. What an experience. Got picks with Gore, Hanks, Breezy, and Travis. What's going on, Mike? Faithful was on. Like, listen, everything that happened this weekend from the video shoot to the meet and greet was on a level 1,000. Like, 1,000. Like, it was 1,000 to where I was trying to chill at the meet and greet until I was asked to do what I was asked to do. You know what I'm saying? So I was in the cut. Next thing you know, Breezy, come to the stage. And Travis King voice, he got that. Breezy, come to the stage. Next thing I know, we're performing Faithful to the Bay live, crowd, mosh pit style. Got the cameras crazy here. It was crazy. The energy was ridiculous. It was like they never heard the song, but they was vibing with the song. Yeah. And now that they
you
know
can
the
tell
song.
About the video. And there were so many. Like, all you saw, like, in the video was, like, this right here with people or tail. Like, it was
listen,
awesome.
It was
great.
Travis King, A1, Day One, one of the amazing, great people out there. One of the greatest artists, musical artists out there. And he's a 49er content creator. Want to show him some love. That was not in the plans. I did not plan that. He didn't tell me we were doing that. That's why I was eating my sweet Thai chili wings. And
at the table.
Bro.
We're waiting for Breeze. He was like, oh, snap. So then me, you, and Nick rushed the stage.
Rushed the stage, threw the chicken wing down, licking the sauce all the way to the stage. Didn't have no wet wipes, baby wipes, hand sanitizer. It was whatever.
I had to open up the hole for Breezy to get to the stage because people wasn't moving.
The experience was crazy. It was definitely crazy. But thank you, Mike, man. Appreciate the Super Chat contribution. There's no one greater than this guy right here, yo. Sean, I don't even want to read this.
Sean said, praying for you, Jesus. Help Breezy so his bedroom stops looking like a motel room. Get all of you.
Hold on, PG. This is why I don't go live when I'm on the road. Sean be hurting the feelings way too much. I look back. One time I tried to put the Nitty Gritty flag up there so it could look somewhat like a set. But Sean noticed.
See, what you needed was one of those gigantic WB ones to put up there, not the whole entire thing.
He still wouldn't know
that block.
Sean got the eagle eye.
And that way you can be engulfed in it and then you can't see nothing.
Sean got that eagle eye. I'm telling you, he just know. He be knowing.
He said, can all of you believe that B tried to ignore us in the same section?
Now, Sean, you know, when you called, did I answer the phone, Sean? Tell the truth, shame the devil, Sean. You call me mid-game. I'm watching the game. You call me mid-game. And I'm like, I know he not calling me right now. I picked up that phone, Sean. I was about to send some curse words down your way, and then I saw Kanan, my nephew. That's the cutest little boy I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't. Nah, Sean, I wasn't ignoring you, bro. That was funny. But when you told me where you were three rows down, but to the right. So we found each other, got pictures with Kanan. Kanan is too cute, man. I'm surprised he can take the loudness because it was loud. That kid got some good eardrums. Yeah, he got some good eardrums.
He said, Rocky, the only good thing from Philly.
Them cheesesteaks be slapping. There's not the ones downtown. You got to go to the hood. I found a hood spot, and them chunks hit.
Those cheesesteaks are so good.
And Sean, I'm from Philly, man.
Oh, no. That's what you just hurt most people.
I'm from Philly, bro.
Whoops.
Wow.
So Mo's catching the stray out the side.
Mo's got hit in the stomach like steel from juice. That ain't no stray.
He got the direct shot, but I get the indirect shot.
He just shooting right now.
Speaking of which, Mo, saw that video. You was jamming whenever y'all was outside performing the song at the tailgate. I believe that it was at the tailgate.
Yo, Moses.
Mo was jamming.
Moses was on point. Moses is always on point. Like, we walked in there. Moses came in there with the big gulp. I was like, oh, we about to have a good day. He only brought one, though. But I was like, we about to have a good day. You know what I'm saying? He had the big gulp. It was gone, but he had the ice left. And so I'm like, yo, it's about to be a good day. As soon as Mo's came in, he went straight to the TVs, hooked them suckers up, threw football on. That was it. After that, it was that and Mo's and music. And it was just a good day, man. Shout out to John Chapman and 49ers Rush Road Trip crew, yeah, man. What a great tailgate event that they threw for the faithful, man. Always good. Always good times. Always good times. Always. What a great weekend, right? Like, we had the video shoot. The turnout was amazing. Thank you to all the faithful that came out. Speaking of that, I'm glad you mentioned that. Before we do our next Super Chat contribution and cap off the show, we got a couple more things we want to get to. We're going to close the show on Michael Parsons. We're just going to close it because I loved him at one point, but I feel like my love is, I don't know, it don't live here anymore.
Right on time.
Hi, Tori.
Right well, on time.
Aww.
Yep.
Take that, so, Sean.
I still say it's the cheesesteaks from the hood, but it's cool. I don't leave Philly, bro. I will drive across town to get the joint and wait for the joint because it's just blazing, like the hoagies and the cheesesteaks. Leave with two, come back. I'm good, man, for the week. Like, I'm good. All right. We have a winner for the over on Facebook. So every week, Miss Debbie does a score prediction on the Nitty Gritty Niners Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Now, this is dope because the winner was somebody that Mo's and I got to meet for the first time. And let me tell you something. She beat us. Well, she beat me to the video shoot site. Not only did she beat me to the video shoot site, her car was decked out and it had Faithful to the Bay on top of it. She knew from the jump her car was getting a cameo in the video just because it said Faithful to the Bay. Not on top of that, she was a big help in setting up, a big help in breaking down, met us at the football stadium. Miss Mary, you were a gem this weekend, and it was a pleasure of meeting you. So let me go ahead and get that pulled up because I want to give her flowers. She also won the score prediction. Shout out to Miss Mary Branch, 35-10 was her score prediction. Congratulations. She said the 49ers were giving up 10 points, and that's all they gave up, but she was the closest, therefore she's going to end up winning the prize. Matter of fact, you've been winning all weekend, young lady.
She has been.
You won that gold bar. You don't think I forgot. I know where you live at. I might have to stop by and get me a shot before I hit that airplane in the morning so I can have smooth sailing trips. But congratulations to Miss Branch out there, man. Yay, thank you so much for everything that she did. I'm telling you, she met us. She was with the video shoot. Then she met us at the meet and greet. Then she was at the tailgate. Then she was, I was just like, yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. So I was, more of you.
I was the first person there.
My bad. Mose was first.
But she was literally like 2 seconds behind me. So mm-hmm. I see her pull up with the Niners stuff on the car. I'm like, okay, that's probably what she's here for. And then she came up to my car and she was like, this is where we're doing a video shoot, right? And I was like, yeah, right here. She was like, well, where's the Debo mirror? And at first we didn't know where it was. And then I got out of the car, went around the side of the building, and then saw the huge mural. And it was so crazy because we got there early enough that the sun hadn't come up yet. Mm-hmm. But by the time me and Miss Mary went around to see the mural, the sun was rising, and as the sun hits that mural, bro, it's like the visor shines like it's a regular visor.
Wow,
it's amazing. The visor
from like stadium light, whatever paint they use, awesome. When the sun hits it, it shines. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing, bro.
Wow, you're just telling me this, but wow,
that's
like I'm
great.
Just finding this out. Like I awesome. Didn't get this. The PFF grades are out, ladies and gentlemen. The grade report is out, and I love it, right? Check out the top five offensive grades. You got Jordan Mason, 91, Purdy, 85.3, Ayuk, 82.4, Kittle, 79.3, and Williams, 78.8. There hasn't been a week Trent Williams hasn't been up there. He gave up zero pressures, but the false start, like the penalty, yeah. the it just hinders your grade big time. I know people are like, well, how is Kittle a 79.3 and he had 3 touchdowns? So you guys got to factor in like the little intangibles. Did he miss a block? Did he over pursue a block? Like things like that. Like, or did he get the pancake on the block, which will boost you up a little bit? Mm-hmm. What happens is this is how they grade for those that are watching. It goes by the total amount of snaps you play, right? And the more snaps you play, kind of like the lower your grade, the chances of your grade going lower, it can be, right? Because you're playing more snaps. Now you get graded from -2 to a 2 on every snap. If you get a penalty, good luck. It's a -2 straight off the bat, like straight up -2. Penalty, -2. And then little things like that, missing blocks, giving up pressures. And each position is graded a little bit differently. So if Kittle was in on pass blocking and gave up a pressure, that's a low grade. If you look at like the sack that happened on Brock Purdy, that sack was actually not from the offensive line. It was actually the pressure was graded toward Kyle Juszczyk because he wasn't able to sustain his block. But Purdy was moving, but that pressure came from right side where Juszczyk was, and that's what ended up getting Purdy down. So that's how they grade. I know a lot of people don't love it, and I get it, but that's just their grading system. That's how they scale their grader, right? And you go to defense, man. Oren Burks, 94.6, both to 91.2, Lenore 84.7, Greenlaw 81.2, and Kinlaw with a 79.5. Kinlaw has been in this grading system just about every week as well. Mm-hmm. Kinlaw is back, y'all. Kinlaw is back. Kinlaw is back. He's gotten through 5 weeks of football with no issues. And you can knock on wood. Being disruptive. Him getting over there on that Fred Warner sack and just putting a big body on Dak Prescott, man. That's probably why Dak couldn't throw. He felt the Kimball. Right.
Did you see that? Because I know on TV it showed where I don't know who the player was, tried to like talk junk to Kinlaw, and Mike said, "Hey man, you better be careful because this dude eats squirrels."
We didn't see that.
Like nothing.
I didn't see that. Yeah, I can't wait to watch the TV version.
They were salty because, but Kinlaw was one to put some hands on somebody because they was out there talking. You know, they was out there talking and stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And they got really down and all the stuff they were saying, blah blah blah, whatever. But it was so funny though, because he tried to come up on him. You might not want to do that.
Too funny. All right, y'all. Let's cap off the show. We got a couple more things I want to get to. Big time player. Now, when I think of big timers, I'm thinking Cash Money. When I'm thinking of big timers, I'm thinking Manny Fresh and Birdman. When I'm thinking big timers in this game, I'm thinking George Kittle on the offensive side, Fred Warner on the defensive side. Them was some big timers, but there were some other ones like Brock Purdy. And I know Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, Greenlaw, maybe Nick Bosa didn't go off like we want them to. So let's exclude them. Let's say they're automatic big timers. Peachy Moles, give me a big time player from this game. And in the chat, feel free to put your big time player in the chat as well. All right. I really want to know where you guys are coming from on this one. No one's going to guess my big time player.
So I have one that is going to, it may surprise people. I'm like, why is she doing that? That led to the third interception by Dak. That pretty much, even though the game was already sealed, the fact that he's out there. So my big time player is going to be Oren Burks, because the fact that he was able to pick Dak off, because for some reason, Dallas just let him continue to play out there throwing picks. Right after that, though, they took him out, Cooper Rush. But anyway,
that was it. That was the end of Dak.
Oren Burks.
That was the end of Dak. Yeah, man, Oren Burks, man. Listen, and you mentioned something earlier about Dak throwing to backups. Burks isn't a backup. Burks is a starting linebacker in the 4-3 base defense of the 49ers. The Niners play base a lot in this game. You know what I'm saying? Because Dallas didn't want to put 3 wide receivers out because they didn't trust Dak Prescott and three wide receiver sets. I guess that's what it was. So you didn't see, you saw a lot of base. So Oren Burks definitely went out there. He read the quarterback's eyes. He went out there, made a play, got the interception, and kind of like sealed the deal for the starters to just be officially out of this game. So shout out to Oren Burks, man. That's what's up. Shout out to Oren Burks. Mm-hmm. Mos, give me a big time player from you, my dude.
I'm going to let you go first because you said we might not guess yours, but for some odd reason, I think we got the same player.
So I'm no, we don't. First. No, you go first. You're not going to get my player.
All right, let's see. My big-time player for this game, because I was there and I saw the effect that his energy also had on the game and on the faithful, George Odom, special teams. George Odom. He set the tone from a special team standpoint.
That's why he's all pro.
When we kicked the ball off, we made sure that Dallas didn't start in good field position. And that charge was led by George Odom. And after every play he made, you saw his energy. You saw him look at the crowd and get them involved and get them hyped. And as if the crowd couldn't be louder, the volume turned up a notch because of his energy on special teams, putting the defense in great situations for us to be able to go out and hunt. So that's my big-time player. I'm giving it to George Odom on special teams.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And since you on special teams, right, since you on special teams, I got another player. Because this is where this kid is going to become a rising star in the NFL. And he's going to become a rising star with the San Francisco 49ers. Because though George Odom set the tone, this player made the plays. And if you want to talk about Mitch Wisnowski getting his punts off, cool. But if it wasn't for this player who did it not once but twice and pinned, I want to make sure I say it right because it's not pent, that's not a word. He pinned the Dallas Cowboys at the 1 yard line. If y'all
know,
you know the freaking symmetry, this is why I don't like you. This is why we're not friends. This is why we're not brothers. We are nothing anymore because symmetry is in the notebook of Wayne Breezy. Symmetry, you have to stop. You have to chill. It's not me because Big Papa was there. And he was like, listen, Breezy, the only Michigan people I like is Jake Moody, all right, and Ronnie Bell. Listen, how can you not say that? You want to know why Dak Prescott struggled? Because he was at the one a couple of times in this game.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not much he can do when Tony Pollard can't run, right? Yep. Tony Pollard couldn't run on his defense. He had one run.
29 yards.
Shit. And one of the runs was probably 15 yards. Exactly. One. Yep. Listen, y'all can watch me all y'all want, but I'm telling you, Ronnie Bell is becoming the gunner. I said it earlier today on the Wayne Breezy Show. Who was that? That 49er player, he wore number 27. I want to say his last name was Spillman. Not Spellman, but Spillman. CJ Spillman. I feel like that's his name. He was the best CJ 49ers gunner I've ever seen in my life.
Yes,
I'm getting that vibe from Ronnie Bell. And here's the thing. Special teams has been the weakest link probably for all 4 weeks of football. Mm-hmm. I really felt like the special teams was on the same level as the offense and the defense against Dallas. Yes, I tell you what, I need the 49ers to play under the lights on primetime all the time because that's when they showed up. I ain't worried about a 49er team not showing up under the lights when the lights and the cameras is turned on. Okay, they just proved that they could beat America's team with the lights all the way on. I bet you everybody wanted them lights off at some point in that game.
You know they did.
See, Collie, this is why, you know what I'm saying? I was going to come to Cleveland and just chill. We was going to hang out. You know what I'm saying? We was going to deliver some mail. We was going to do something together that we could just bond. But nah, you always coming for me, bro. Like, yo, Debo, he that dude. And Ronnie Bell going to become that dude. And your boy is wide receiver number one. I gave you that. No doubt. Love you, Kali. Love you. But guys, man, those were our big time players of the game. We're gonna do that every week. I know this particular show was called Big Timers, but I like that. Big time players, man. And Fernando, I can't stop saying this. I can't. And I think that's why teams can't figure this out. So I don't think we'll ever see the full potential of Fernando. I think that's what Kyle wants. We ninjas. That's what the 49ers are. They're straight up ninjas. Yep. Every week, it's a different set of assassins.
Yep.
So if you can't prepare for the ones you know you got to take out, Kyle got a different group of assassin ninjas, shinobis, ninja gaidens, whatever you want to call them. They come in the game and they number get called. Mm-hmm. How do you beat that? I don't know. I got to see it. Then I could be like, oh, that's how we got beat.
Right.
I haven't seen it yet, so I can't tell anybody how to beat something like that. So you're right. We haven't even hit our full potential on offense, special teams, and we still ain't even hit it on defense. This team is scary.
They're not satisfied with what they've done. They want more.
The 49ers are going to make a trade at the trade deadline. I don't know for what.
I hear you, PG. I hear you. I hear you.
We're literally going to shut the NFL down if the 49ers to get Surtain.
I hear you. I hear you. VZ408, exactly. That's scary. Does Darrell Luter Jr. come back this week? Kyle got me all jacked up. I mean, by the rules, yes. By Kyle rules, I don't know. He don't need him. He don't need him. He don't need Danny Gray. Mm-hmm. He don't need it's Womack week this week.
Right.
Now I think Womack might be the guy that they bring back first off the IR. And you know, earlier I said if Elijah Mitchell doesn't get treated, I think the knee injury sustains and he'll be on the IR for several weeks. And then they'll keep him healthy and all that good stuff or whatever, whatever. But it's just crazy just to think about. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I want to end the show. And speaking of that, we do want to talk about Randy Gregory, defensive end, the newest acquisition to the 49ers, will play this week versus the Browns, which we'll be talking about all week long right here on the Wayne Breezy channel. Micah Parsons said a couple of things. We talked about earlier what he said, but here's the latest thing he had to say, Mose, about George Kittle, because George Kittle put out a picture of him wearing the F the Cowboys t-shirt. Now, tell me if this man, Micah Parsons, sound like he in his feelings, man. Let's just take a quick look.
George Kittle had 3 touchdowns on us, and he posted this thing to IG. He said, F Dallas. I just feel like he's making it more, way more personal than it had to be. Kittle's my guy, but I'm going to say this. Laugh now, cry later. We got something for that. Just trust. If we see them again, just trust. And we're going to put it just like that. I ain't going to put too much on it. You're going to make it personal? We can make it personal. That's cool.
He said something that made me like, I listened for certain key words. There was a key word he said, 1 word, 2 letters, key word, ended with a phrase, if we see them again. I don't think Micah Parsons is too confident in his Dallas Cowboys team after being handing his behind on national TV. I just don't think he's too confident, and he's allowing F the Cowboys t-shirt to trigger him. But what he think that's going to do to the 49ers when they play him again? I'm just curious. Okay, Moz, I'm going to shut up, put my mic on mute. Y'all got about 2-3 minutes. Let's go.
Complete delusion. That's really all it is. Like, if you want to make it personal, you should have made it personal already.
Facts.
Helped y'all out in the last 2 playoffs. We sent y'all home twice. Last night should have been personal. Last night you should have been playing for pride. Last night you should have been playing for your team. Last night you should have said, bro, are we going to let this is coming from the person who says that his hometown, where he's from, is where the bullies get bullied. That is one of his famous quotes.
Right.
So this should be personal to him. This is the point where he should say, hey, yo, are we going to continue to let this team bully us? Are we going to continue to let them beat up on us and not show up? Now you want to have a T-shirt be the reason it's personal? Bro, stop talking. I know you're trying to build your brand. You're trying to get your podcast up because, you know, Shannon got his podcast and Brandon Marshall got his podcast and the Kelce brothers got their podcast and all these football players now, they got their own podcast. Darius Slay and Eric Armstead now doing his thing. Everybody got a podcast now. I know you're trying to build your brand and all that. Stop talking.
Yeah. Stop it's talking. Like I was telling Breezy before the show, 49ers, like, F Dallas shirts have been everywhere, like all week. They've been on shows. They've Breezy. Been on network shows. Like, they've been everywhere. So he's seen the shirts. Like, he's seen the shirts. Like, I told Breezy, his you know what hurts is what it is. And he's just like, just a, you know, whatever. But my whole thing is like, you had, like, you were supposed to prove yourself in prime time. You were doing all that talking all week, all that talking. Type of, oh, it's going to be different this time. It's going to be, you know, you guys don't even know. They don't even know this team. They don't even realize like what we got and all this other stuff. And then you got Dak, who was talking about how, you know, the media just wants to anger him by talking about, you know, the last two times that they lost and all these things. That they were supposed to come out there with this, you know, vigor and whatever, and just like run us off the field. And from the get, as soon as the game started, it was over pretty much then. It was literally over that quick. It was over before it started. And it's crazy. And then Micah wants to also say, we were talking about this on the Wayne Breezy show earlier, where Micah also wants to say that he feels like that we're on the same, you know what I'm saying, like on the same level and, you know, everything and all this and that, you know, that the score doesn't, you know, tell the story of what happened out there. No, actually, it was a lot worse. So what game was you watching? Which is what I was telling my coworkers at work. Like, what game was you watching? Well, Micah's got a point. No, he doesn't. He has 0 point to what he's saying. And we are not on the same level. We are miles above anyone else. I said it in this National Football League. This is a different 49ers team, y'all. This team is for real. This team has a goal. From the quarterback on down through this team, to the head coaching staff, to the GM. Mentally, this is not the same 49 team. It's like, oh, you know, well, it's just week 5 and, you know, we're playing along. We're doing this. And no, the goal is a Super Bowl is what the goal is. The goal is 6 Lombardi. That's what the goal is. And that's all that. We are focused on the goal. Last night, that was a business trip. We took care of business out there on the field. And now we got week 6 business trip. And it's just going to keep going through there. The 49ers are not taking themselves too seriously because they're focused. And you could tell they were focused from the jump. You could tell that they were focused because we're playing fast. And that is how you put teams away. The old Kyle Shanahan would have been nervous and trying to figure out, you know, make sure we do something. But no. Kyle's like, I want that neck. Because he heard all that chirping. He heard all that chirping. I think it was Fred. They asked Fred if he had listened to, I guess, some of the crap that they were saying this week or whatever about us. And Fred said, well, the political thing would be to say no, but, you know, I mean, we know, you know, whatever, because everybody has social media and they know all that, you know, and everything like that. So they know, they knew that what was going to happen. And it's crazy. And I thought about something today and I was like, Dallas might need to have a talk with the Packers because the Green Bay knows all about how it is to get beat by the other 49er teams that we had. Not even this one. I can't even imagine the kind of massacre that would be out there if it was this 49ers that was going to face the Packers in the playoffs or whatever. But even with the other 49ers that we had, missing people, having people that were barely healthy, that were like crawling on the field basically to get through a game, and they still couldn't beat us. So, like I said, man, they put all these obstacles in front of us. We just keep knocking them down. So, every week, that's what we're going to do. Keep knocking them down.
Keep knocking them down. Knocking them out. Knocking them down one at a time. Look, Mike and Kim, you guys were there at the tailgate. Mike, you've been with me all weekend, and damn, he whipping my ass at fantasy football. And here's how bad he's beating me, Mo. He asked me, said, Breezy, who do you want me to start?
Damn.
That's it. I'm gonna leave it at that. It's cool because we, it's cool. We family. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
He should. I know that one cut. As soon as he finished saying it, at him like, if you wasn't my brother,
Yo, Mike, you. Mike is one of the coolest people on earth. Listen, Mike, appreciate you and everything that you guys did this weekend, but. Mike, I haven't even checked the league, bro. I don't even give a f- at this point. You probably won 400-1 at this point, like literally. Because Mike, it was Justin Fields or Brock Purdy, right? And I'm like, oh, yo, just start Fields because I don't want to get beat by my boy Brock. It'll cut a little different. Justin Fields career night, Thursday Night Football. Not one quarterback has played that well on Thursday Night Football. Justin Fields goes out there and plays the best game of his career on Thursday Night Football. On top of that, he listens to the What's Your Fantasy show. So he hit the waiver wire. He picked up guys that PG and I was named on the waiver wire. He puts them in start lineup. And next thing you know, they go hamburger for 1 week. I'm like, okay. I'm gonna pay you to run my team next week because I ain't playing you. So you might as well just go ahead and get my lineup good and going because that was crazy. Listen, we love everybody out there. We got to get you super chat contributions before we dip up out of here. We do appreciate everybody for tuning in every Monday night. You guys are the real MVPs. Let's start right here with Christy Marie. She has the first one that's gonna go off. Go ahead, Peachy. You got it.
Thank you for the super chat, Christy. Breezy, are you doing a show with Boss? I need all the info, date, time, and channel. I cannot miss that show this time. Oh, speaking of which, because I can say this, though. Breezy won't say it, but I will. So, Boss decides, since, you know, his peoples like to you know, start a bunch of stuff, block the 49er fans and everything. He says he has nothing to do with it, but then I heard otherwise. Boss puts out this today after this beatdown. He said, after the Cowboys lost to San Francisco, a lot of the Cowboys' enemies are using the L to express their hate. This is actually the best time to express humility, grace, and forgiveness. Amen? No. It is not. It's absolutely not.
Hell no.
Hell no.
This the same dude that told me that Deron Bland could cover Brandon Ayuk.
Yes.
Hey, there's not one defensive back in the NFL that could cover Brandon Ayuk. Not one. Not
Breezy,
a Ramsey.
Not only that, though, but you have to tell him what he said about their wide receivers. And how that we had
how they were better how
we
they
had
were
ran
better?
Across ne- not, yeah. You had ran across our, nothing well,
no, no,
like,
no, no,
like
no, 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 no. He said that our defensive backs were trash.
Oh yeah,
without using the word trash, but he described it, so I take it as garbage.
Let me get it right. Yeah, and that they wouldn't be able to do nothing with the
Mose, how
the
many
Pro
yards CD how many yards CD Lamb had, Mose? How many yards Brandon Cooks had in this game, Mose? Who the only wide receiver that scored a touchdown? I bet you they don't even know that wide receiver name.
Okay. CeeDee Lamb, ironically, CeeDee Lamb had 49 yards.
I can't make this stuff up.
Michael Gallup had 15 yards, and Brandon Cooks had 7.
Moles, the 49ers defense gave up 197 total yards in this game, bro. One touchdown. Yeah. So you want us to show humility? He tried to catch me. He was trying. He thought I didn't know what I was going to be talking about when he started pulling out the all 22. So to be fair, Christy Marie, I only want to do the show on his show so he could pull up the all 22, because there's nothing he can show me other than they tackled Christian McCaffrey that would stand out. That's it. That's it. Matt, speaking of tackling Christian McCaffrey, they literally tried to take him out with dirty hit.
Of course they did.
And I think that affected Christian McCaffrey's performance in that game. He got hit in the head. Go watch it again. No, don't watch it. It was bad.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. Because, see, that is when you know that a team mentally knows they're in trouble when you try to take somebody out. Because instead of you trying to figure out how to beat them, even if you can't, then you got to try to hurt them. And that's what they were doing. They bent him over backwards on that one that they had or whatever, trying to get that leg.
Ah.
Nobody's crazy.
I didn't see that.
Yes. No one's crazy. We know what they was trying to do. Just like, what's his name that was laying on Ayuk? And which is why, what's his name had to, like, come over there and handle it, because the Cowboy player was literally, like, wouldn't let him up.
Interesting.
And so they were, so, you know, just a bunch of crap. But that's what happens whenever you're a loser.
Sean, some say the devil wears Prada. Nope. That cowgirl wears silver, blue and white, ugly and wimpy it is. Now that's the best. That's dope, Sean.
That is awesome. Sid Brown, thank you for the super chat. Always good to see y'all, fam. And this D is about to get better. Inner Gregory. Go Niners.
I don't think people know.
Right.
I don't think people know about Randy Gregory's skill set and the speed aspect he's going to add opposite the pass rush with Nick Bosa. Yeah. I'm not comparing him to D4, but the only thing we're missing is speed. And there was there's a reason why they drafted Robert Beal Jr. And until Robert Beal Jr. comes off the IR, gets into NFL shape and all that type of stuff, you go get you an NFL player that's already built like that. Now, I think Robert Beal Jr. is going to provide tremendous speed once, if he can make this, you know, he's on the roster, but if he can get caught up. But right now, he's not in the plans. That's why I said I can't tell you what Kyle doing with the IR. He been cleared. Dude, week four, this is week, we going into week six. Them players, they should be practicing. The window is officially open.
Yes.
The Niners have 21 days to make an announcement or make a move. So the Niners are just going to let that junk play to day 20, maybe even on day 21, 4 p.m. Right. Eastern Standard Time. I think that's how it worked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy, but they go get a Randy Gregory. They're going to put him in there. They let go of Kerry Hyder Jr. That tells you that the Niners are looking to add a different element to the defense. Cousin Sid, you ain't never lied. The speed on the opposite side, oh, it's about to get tremendously different. You know why we had to add speed, Moles and Peachy? Do you know why? Because the offenses decided to change up their game plan, get rid of the ball extra quick.
Yep.
It's not the same type of offenses that's going to hold on to the ball 3+ seconds, 4+ seconds, things like that. Nah, they getting the ball out their hand 2.2, 2.3, 2.4, 2.5. They on the 49ers game plan. That's why. So you know what? How do you negate quick quarterback throws? You bring speed in off the other side.
That's right.
So I can't wait, Cousin Sid, to see how it goes down.
Yeah.
Christy Marie says video shoot was fuego. Fire. Yeah. Moses was getting it in too. Moses was dancing. These dude, Moses is the man. Moses, this one's for you, man. Go ahead and read that from Sean.
He said, Moses, like I said, anyway, I think the Philly cheesesteak was someone's leftover sandwich from New York. I went to Niners house. Just kidding, Moses. Disrespect the Philly cheesesteak.
Nah, I can't.
New York got the chopped cheese. People think that's the same thing, but it's
they got the chopped cheese. Yeah, the chops. Yeah, it's different.
Got the chopped cheese. Philly got the Philly cheese. They let Philly have that win.
Sean Beck with the super chat contribution says, "Hey, did you notice he utilized the tight end and fullback? He's been doing that though for the past 2-3 games. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, last week when I saw Kyle Juszczyk run a corner route, I don't know if y'all know that route, but it was a flag on the damn play. I was like, oh snap." Kyle is starting to peel off a layer of the playbook. And then you get Kyle Juszczyk on a naked bootleg to the right. It's just like walk in touchdown. Brock Purdy with a soft tutty throw. And it's just like butter, baby. Like it was perfect. Perfection. Like you're telling me we getting down to the goal line now in the red zone and just scoring like that?
Yes.
And now we're utilizing the fullback? Dude, I'll take Kyle in a split with Philly. First time seeing Kyle truly smiling when talking about plays and Purdy. Like, smiling.
Yes.
Mm.
He was so happy.
Peachy, take us home with this one from VZ408.
I'm so proud of this team right now. Man, we are firing on all cylinders. Let's freaking go, Breezy. When the FTTB video dropping?
2 weeks, man. 2 to 3 weeks. Woo-hoo! Give me 2 to 3 weeks. I want to let my man Nobi, who him and his crew. Man, when you work with video directors, like I was the passive artist. I trusted his vision. I trusted his direction. I never want to step on an artist's creativity. If you're an artist and you have creativity, I want you to create. But what he was showing us, and I didn't ask him to show us anything, but what he was showing us without edits, without color correction, without anything, raw dog, it was legit. Like, oh, snap, you did that? We did that? That's happening? Everybody was just so on point with receiving direction from him. There was no yelling. There was no animosity. It was hot as fuck. It was 97 degrees.
The sun was beating down.
At 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So the video shoot was so dope, man. The experience was crazy. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think once a year, I'm going to do a song. My ode to the Bay, because I just love the 49ers. I love the West Coast. I love everything out here. Every year, I'm going to do a game, pick a game, video shoot, meet and greet, and then boom, once a year. That's going to be my thing. That's going to be the thing. We're going to bring the whole crew out there next time. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah, I'm not missing another one. I promise you.
Yeah, the whole crew, you're going to be there. Yeah. Right. Fair going to be there as well, because he's going to be in on the song along. Mo's going to be singing on the hook, too. Like, everybody going to be in there, because Mo's was singing. Mo's knew my words. I didn't know the words. Mo's knew the words. It's like, Mo's, just get in front of the camera and just do the thing. You just do it. Guys, what a great show. What a fun show. It's so much more fun when you're winning. It's a lot more yelling and trying to figure things out when you're losing. The 49ers are clearly in the right mind, right state of mind. They're in a Bay state of mind, now that I think about it. Kyle Shanahan, you know, Sean just said, was smiling. That means the coach is having fun, too? Now the coach is having fun? I already knew the players were having fun, Peachy and Mo's. You mean to tell me our head coach is having fun?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's having fun. Everybody's doing their job.
Yes.
So it makes the job easier. All I got to do is call the play. All I got to do is make the adjustments. All I got to do is scheme it up. And whatever I call, y'all just go out there and execute. That's why, Peachy, like you said, your favorite throw. That's why he was okay with calling the same play. After we got a 10-yard holding penalty, I'm gonna call the same, but we still gonna get a first down because it wasn't for this hold, which was a little ticky tack, and the refs wasn't being consistent because we saw at least 2 or 3 holds on Nick Bosa with arm around his neck
tagging down to the ground. And tackled to the ground. And tackled, literally. Yeah.
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 But, like, we're executing at such a high level that you talked about his trust in Purdy, but he has trust in everybody. Where he's like, run it again. Get the first down again. And we did it. Yes, he's having fun. It's probably the most fun that he's had since being the head coach of this
team. Yeah.
What a game, man. What a game. What a win. On to Cleveland, y'all. On to Cleveland. Look, there's word on the street. Deshaun Watson didn't practice today.
Yep.
So there's a possibility that he's not going to play on Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. It's happening. And this could be we get to see a rookie and DTR face this ferocious defense. Ooh, God. Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. So stay tuned. Bunch of shows coming out this week. We thank y'all for watching, man. Y'all always keep it nitty gritty. That's what we're doing. You can see the sun setting because the lighting on my computer is definitely getting a little darker. Mm-hmm. A little darker. But listen, we love y'all, man. Stay up. Stay faithful. Always keep it nitty gritty, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Nitty gritty. It's the lightest talk. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the lightest talk. We outline players up and show. Nitty gritty, this the lightest talk. Don't like it, better take a walk. Nitty gritty, this the lightest talk. Lightest talk. Nitty gritty, this the lightest talk.